Hello, and welcome to the Dance Physio Podcast, a podcast designed to explore ideas and foster discussion around dancer health and wellness. We're here to challenge the status quo, bridge the gap between dance science and the studio, and help change the landscape of the dance industry for the better. I'm your host, Erica Mayall, a dancer turned physiotherapist who is deeply passionate about leaving the dance world better than I found it. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Dance Physio Podcast. Just before we get started today, I want to remind you, if you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, please do so. It does help just with rankings and so other people can find the podcast. And if you have not yet left a review or a rating for the podcast, I would be so appreciative if you would take 5 seconds right now just to go and leave a review and a rating. Thank you so much for all of your support. So we are going to get into today's episode of the podcast. Today, I want to talk about an injury or a condition that we see commonly in dancers, but it is not necessarily an injury that is super common in other populations and other specifically like athletic populations. So this is an injury that oftentimes is potentially misdiagnosed by other healthcare practitioners. So if somebody has gone to the doctor or gone to another physio, they are often treated for something different because it's not potentially the top thing on people's radars just because it isn't super common. But in a dance population, it is very common. And so we often get people coming in who have like been attending physio or have been dealing with an injury for a while. And the reason it's not been improving is because they're actually being treated for the wrong injury. So today I want to talk to you about ankle impingement injuries. And I'm going to go through what these injuries are, how they happen, why dancers are susceptible, different treatment options, things like that. So we're going to dive into all things ankle impingements today. And you'll see as we go through this, why it is common that people are being sort of misdiagnosed, because these injuries often present really similarly to an Achilles tendinopathy issue. And so the most common thing I see in the clinic is people coming in and they're saying, oh, I've been dealing with Achilles problems, or I've been having Achilles pain, and I've been treated for Achilles tendinopathy for, you know, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is, but it's just not getting any better. And when we actually take a look and do an assessment, it turns out that it's not an Achilles problem at all. They're actually dealing with this posterior impingement or posterior ankle impingement injury. So what is a posterior ankle impingement injury? It is essentially compression that happens between the calcaneus, so that's our heel bone, and the lower part of our tibia, so our leg, like the lower leg bone. They meet in the ankle at sort of the ankle joint in through there, and we can have injury or pain that occurs if we get excessive compression that is happening between those two areas. So it's happening right at the back of the ankle. It's essentially happening almost underneath the Achilles tendon, which is why it's so commonly mistaken as an Achilles injury, because it is in the exact same kind of location. I keep referring to posterior impingement as an injury, but maybe more accurately, it should be described as like a condition that people deal with, because it's not always a result of an injury per se. So there are some people who may be dealing with this issue who haven't had any history of an injury. They haven't had anything that sort of makes it seem like that acute type injury. So it's kind of one of those things that can be classified, I guess, as a bit more of a chronic injury, but sometimes we might refer to it a bit more as a condition, because especially in people who are dealing with a more bony type impingement, it may actually be something like congenital that they were sort of born with, and it's only recently become symptomatic. So essentially, we get this compression that happens right in the back of the ankle. And this compression happens most commonly when people are in a fully plantar flexed position. So in layman's terms, that basically means when your foot is pointed. And obviously in dancers, we point our feet all the time, and we spend a lot of time on releve or on demi point. So we're in that pointed position, and then we're also bearing weight in that position. And that's why this injury or this condition is really
common in dancers, but we don't see it super commonly in other populations of people because most other athletic populations and sort of the general population does not necessarily spend a lot of time in that plantar flexed or that foot pointed position. And specifically with dancers, we see impingement issues happening when we are like have our foot pointed and then are in a weight bearing position. So essentially on releve or on that demi point position. If it becomes severe enough or inflamed enough or kind of angry enough, people will sometimes then get the symptoms when they're just pointing their foot and there's no weight going through it. But it would be unusual for somebody to present with kind of pain and limitation happening pointing their foot and then not getting pain in that weight-bearing position. So dancers do a lot of repetitive loading on releve. If you think about how many times you go up onto your demi point or your releve in a class, and it doesn't actually really matter what genre it is. In ballet, there's obviously loads of rises and things like that. But in other classes, say you're taking a jazz class or something, you might be doing a lot of turns or you might be doing a lot of other moves where you're still utilizing that high releve position. And so we have that repetitive loading that is happening and that can create this compression or impingement. And impingement essentially means like pinching that's happening in through there. So we can get this impingement that happens right at the back of the ankle. There are actually two different types of impingement that we see with these posterior ankle impingement injuries. And the first type is a bony impingement. So like I said before, this compression that happens between the calcaneus, which is our heel bone, and then the lower part of our leg bone in through there. And what can happen in some people is those two pieces of bone, as we point our foot or go into that releve position, they actually just like bump up against each other. And that, like I said, can create sort of irritation or potentially inflammation in that area and then lead to sort of pain and limitation in range of motion. There are some people who are going to be more susceptible to these bony types of impingement, often due to the shape of their bones. And so there are some people who have a more prominent kind of like piece of bone that sticks out, especially on the back of the calcaneus, than potentially other people. And so if you do have a more prominent piece of bone in through there, it is more likely to potentially get sort of pinched or compressed in that area. There are some people that have a little bit of like an extra sort of accessory bone in that area that potentially hasn't fully fused sort of during development, and it's quite common. We call it an os trigonum. You don't need to know the name of it, but in those people, they again are going to potentially be more susceptible to having these impingements because that bone just sticks out a little bit further, or it maybe like isn't fully fused in through there. These os trigonums, or having the more prominent bone, is actually fairly common. Like when they, you know, take x-rays of people's feet, they'll find that as like an incidental finding in a lot of cases that never causes people any problems whatsoever. But in a small percentage of people, it can become symptomatic or it can become problematic. One of the things we see commonly is that people haven't had any issues with it. And especially if it's like an os trigonum, like they were, you know, born like that, they've had it for ages, and maybe, you know, when they're 16, 18, 25, all of a sudden they develop this posterior impingement syndrome, there is sometimes a precipitating event that maybe makes things symptomatic. And so it could be, say, an ankle sprain type injury. So they've rolled their ankle, they've had another injury. It could be a hip injury. It could be a knee injury. There's often something that's happened that's maybe altered their biomechanics slightly, and that has led to this bony impingement becoming symptomatic. It's not that it all of a sudden showed up overnight. They likely had that bony morphology or that bony design their whole life, but it is for some reason become symptomatic. In people who have a bony type of impingement, they will most often, and this isn't an always case, but they will most often feel the pain a little bit more towards the outside of the back of their ankle. So if you think about like where your Achilles tendon is, if you were thinking about the outside part of like the kind of side of your Achilles tendon there, that is often where people will point to if you say sort of like, where exactly are you getting the pain? They'll often very specifically pinpoint, oh, it's like right here in this spot, and it's often to a little bit to the outside. They most commonly get pain in that releve position. So like I said, when you come up onto demi-point, those bones get closer together. And if they have this impingement, it's getting pinched or compressed in through there. And that will usually cause them pain. If it gets angry enough, then they may also have pain just with pointing their foot. But generally, it's like a releve type position. Or if you have a ballet dancer, then when they're like fully on their block of their point shoe, so that fully plantar flexed or pointed position, that is most often where they will have symptoms and feel pain. The other type of impingement that we see is what we call a soft tissue impingement. So when we point our foot or when we go into that releve position, there's also lots of soft tissues in that area. So there's obviously your Achilles tendon, but it's a little bit more close to the surface of your skin. It's like right on the back of your leg and through there. But deeper to that, so closer to the back of your ankle joint, there are other soft tissues and other tendons that run in that area. And sometimes what we see is these tendons can become compressed or can become pinched when we go into these positions. And the most common one that we see in dancers is the flexor hallucis longus, or FHL tendon, as it comes down. So this is the muscle that starts in your lower leg, and then it sort of comes down your inner ankle and into the foot and goes all the way into your big toe. And its job is to help flex or like bend the big toe, basically. And it is common that just because of the path that it runs down and the amount that we use it, again, as dancers, that this can become kind of compressed or pinched in the back of that ankle and can cause these impingement syndromes. People who have soft tissue type impingements will often, and again, not always, but often feel the pain slightly more medially or towards the inside of the ankle. So again, if you think about where your Achilles tendon is, if you were coming just to the inside edge of the back of your ankle, that is often where people will feel more soft tissue type impingement pain. Or sometimes it'll be like right behind their like ankle bone, like the your malleolus, like the pointy bit that sticks out the inside of your ankle. Oftentimes that's where they will feel the pain in through there. With the soft tissue impingements, people will experience pain on that or in that releve position or on demi-point, but people can also and often do experience pain in a full plié position, or especially a grand plié position where your heels are lifting off of the ground. And that's because when we go into those positions, we're actually in sort of what we call like a maximally dorsiflex, so your foot's flexed position, and you get a, I think the best way to describe it is almost like a wringing out of the tendon that happens in through there. So the compression that is happening from it being like overstretched, if that makes sense, as opposed to it being a compression that's happening more from it being pinched. So in the soft tissue impingements, it can be that they get pain on releve and on a plie. Whereas if they have a bony impingement, generally a plie actually feels good to them because it relieves that compression. It takes those bones further away from each other. They tend not to experience symptoms in a plie type position. The other sort of hallmark signs, or sometimes hallmark signs that we might see, are other symptoms that go along with that FHL or flexor hallucis longus tendon. And so that could be swelling potentially along the path of the tendon. It can be tenderness, like if they're like tender to touch along that tendon. We can also get what we call crepitus, and that's kind of like a crackly, creaky sort of feeling. So if they wiggle their toes around, you'll feel it kind of feel a bit crackly in that area. That's usually a sign that it's sort of like inflamed and irritated in that area. And they often also will have pain with bending their big toe upwards. So like extending their big toe or pulling their big toe upwards. And again, that's kind of stretching that tendon or maximally stretching that tendon, and that can create pain. So the clinical presentation is slightly different for a bony impingement versus a soft tissue impingement, but both of them are often going to have pain with the releve type position. And like I said, these both bony impingement and soft tissue impingement really commonly get confused or misdiagnosed as an Achilles injury or an Achilles issue. And so we want to make sure when we are doing a physical exam and when we are like assessing these dancers that we truly are diagnosing things correctly, because the treatment is slightly different for an Achilles issue versus a posterior impingement issue. So in terms of treatment, what do we do? How do we deal with these sort of injuries? Well, we always want to first look at restoring range of motion and looking for optimal biomechanics in the foot and the ankle. And so a lot of people with these impingement injuries will lose mobility in the ankle joint or in the big toe joint, or they'll have compensations that are happening somewhere in that area. So we always start by trying to restore that mobility and restore the biomechanics of the area. We, of course, want to look at foot and ankle strength and control. So looking at the intrinsic muscle functioning of the foot and also looking at the more extrinsic, so the ankle muscles that come up from the leg or originate in that lower leg area. So we're really looking at a lot of the things that we look at with a lot of different injuries in terms of biomechanics and like strength and control and loading and all of those types of things. Commonly, I'm just debating whether I can use that word. I would say maybe commonly is an unfair word to use, but probably more often than is necessary, people will often try and treat these injuries with steroid injections. And this is something that I have a bit sort of mixed feelings on. I think there is potentially a time and a place for steroid injections, but oftentimes with impingements, it is not, at least in my clinical experience with dancers I've dealt with who've had these issues, it is often not a super helpful treatment option. So dancers often don't get great results with these steroid injections, and there's a lot of downsides and sort of side effects of steroid injections. So if it is something that your healthcare provider is kind of recommending as a course of treatment, I would do your research about whether that's the most appropriate or best course of action for you. And I would certainly recommend, if you are thinking of going down that route of like steroid injections for posterior ankle impingement, making sure that it's being done by a medical practitioner who is familiar in working with dancers. I would say that the people who are often recommending steroid injections for these injuries are often practitioners or doctors in this case who are not necessarily familiar with a dancer population. And so I think that's maybe why they're recommending them in cases where they're maybe not the most appropriate treatment sort of choice. We have better results, I would say, with sort of conservative treatment options, looking at, like I was saying before, biomechanics, muscle balance, and all of those types of things. Surgery is sometimes an option or a treatment choice for these injuries, more commonly in the bony impingements than in the soft tissue impingements. So if you are somebody who has that little bit of like extra bone, like an ostrigonum or something like that, that is causing that bony posterior impingement, surgery may actually be the best option for you. It doesn't always have to be. A lot of times people will try conservative treatment first, do physio, things like that. And sometimes people get really great results and then they don't need to go down the surgical path. But for the people where that bone really is impeding their function and limiting their ability to get up onto releve, surgery may be an option. And they basically go in and remove that excess piece of bone, make it all nice and smooth. So when you go into that full releve position, you're not getting that compression or that pinching that is happening in through there. So those are some of the treatment options of things we may do when people are dealing with a posterior ankle impingement. In terms of return to dance or ability to dance with this condition or with these injuries, the biggest thing is limiting the positions that are most aggravating or irritating for these dancers. And in some ways, these injuries are somewhat easily modifiable. in the sense that, especially for the bony impingement, it is usually only a demi-point or a releve position that really bothers these people. So if we say, okay, we want you dancing on a flat foot, essentially, you're not going to go on demi-point or releve. Dancers are usually able to actually then participate quite a lot because they can usually jump, they can usually do all sorts of things and not really have any symptoms. And like I said, if we catch them early enough, usually they don't have any pain with pointing their foot or things like that either. So it may be as simple as limiting the amount of demi-point or releve position that they're doing. With the soft tissue impingements, sometimes it's a little bit more complicated because if they also have pain in that plié position from that wringing out of the tendon, then we often need to limit jumping and plié and things like that as well. So they might be a bit more limited in what it is they are able to participate in class. We always want to look at making sure that we're correcting any technique issues that we see with returning to dance. Especially with these types of injuries, we're really looking at like ankle and foot placement and alignment, making sure that they're not rolling in through their feet, making sure as they go up onto releve, their foot staying in a neutral alignment, they're not sickling their foot or they're not winging their foot in those sort of positions. So really looking at the technique and the biomechanics of the feet and ankles with these injuries. And then we want to look at gradual loading progression. So especially for the soft tissue injuries where there's tendons involved, we know that tendons respond to loading, but they also need to respond to gradual changes in load. So we don't want to go from having somebody potentially taking a break or sitting out or that type of thing in dance to all of a sudden like fully loading the tendon, because we know that that's going to be sort of irritating to it. It's going to flare it up. So it's really looking at these gradual loading progressions for those tendons specifically if they are dealing with a soft tissue type impingement injury. All right, that's a lot of information about the foot and ankle. Like I said, I just wanted to draw your attention to this particular issue or this particular injury that happens because, as I said, it's really common in dancers, but not as much in other populations. And so it is often missed as a diagnosis because healthcare practitioners are maybe not used to seeing it super frequently. So if you're having sort of pain in the back of your ankle and maybe you've been being treated for, you know, something else, and it's often an Achilles issue, and it doesn't seem to be responding to treatment, it might be worth just asking the question, hey, do you think it's possible that maybe this is like a posterior impingement thing going on? Because maybe that will trigger your healthcare provider's memory, and or maybe memory is not the right word, but trigger them to think, oh yeah, actually, maybe I should assess for that. Perhaps there's something slightly different going on and it's not truly an Achilles issue. So I just wanted to bring your attention to that. I think over the next few weeks or potentially a few months of the podcast, I'm going to try and highlight some other injuries that we see commonly in dancers that maybe are not as common in other populations, so are potentially missed as diagnoses in the dance population. So if you have any injuries or conditions that you think fall into that category or you have questions about that you want me to cover in a podcast episode, please let me know. Reach out. You can reach me on social media. Send me a DM. I'm Dance Physio Erica on all social media platforms. Or you can also send me an email, and my email is in the show notes. So thank you so much for listening. I hope that was helpful. I hope that maybe that has given some people an idea of other injuries that can potentially be happening in the ankle that are not an Achilles tendinopathy. And once again, like I said, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.